If you're having trouble converting new clients, it may not be your product or offer. It may just be your process. Grab a notepad and pen, because in this episode of Inner Spartan Unleashed, you're getting a masterclass in how to conduct a client enrollment call.
Welcome to Inner Spartan Unleashed.
This is a gut check.
The weekly podcast from your host, the CEO of Inner Spartan, Renee Rodriguez.
This is the opportunity you've waited your whole life for, the chance to become the hero of your own story.
Each week, you will receive expert tips from leaders in business, health, fitness, and relationships. Our mission is to get you unstuck and living your best life. Get ready to Spartan up.
Welcome to this week's episode of Inner Spartan Unleashed. Today, I'm with my friend and the consummate sales professional, Jim Miller. Jim's background includes VP of Sales for the Tony Robbins Organization, the T. Harv Eckert Organization, Success Resources of America, Heartcore Business. He was the CEO of InRive Consulting Group, and he's also an Inner Spartan trainer and director of our sales. Jim and I have worked together on a number of projects. I think we met when I was the CEO of Ty Lopez's company, or maybe it was just before I took over as CEO, and you were helping out with some sales training at the time. You really helped elevate what we were doing in that organization. And then we've worked together since then on a number of projects. Jim, welcome.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I'm real excited to be here. It's going to be a good time. We've got a lot of good topics to discuss, I'm sure, during these crazy times. So anyway, it's good to be here.
How are things there in San Diego for you?
We are staying healthy, which is good. Safe, you never know. Self-isolating, we're kind of bending those rules a bit. So we are doing a bit of socialization with good friends and getting outside. You know, it seems like San Diego with the weather and just the mentality of San Diegans, you know, there's a need to get outside and enjoy this perfect weather. So we do that periodically.
I'd like to focus the first part of this interview on the impact that the current global and health economic crisis has had. My first question is, given that this crisis has lasted now for several weeks and seems to be going on even longer, how has this affected you and what challenges as a business consultant are you facing?
Well, how it's affected me is, first of all, mentally, is to really observe how it is that I reacted initially to all of the news, all the regulations, and all of the fear that was going on around this pandemic. And I recognize that I got caught up all in it, right? There's this fear contagion. I actually started researching into the neuroscience of fear, and I started understanding what my reaction was because I'm involved in the game of influence. So it's real important for me to understand how it is the people that I'm doing business with, whether they be my prospects or my clients, how their psychology is being affected so that I can influence them into a stronger reality, more abundance, and a more courageous type of living. So this is the first thing, is that I realized that really I got caught up in something that wasn't real. It was just simply a reaction to fear. And we're hardwired in our brain, in a part of our brain called the amygdala, which basically is going to sense fear. And it doesn't even have to be the real fear. It can simply be the reaction to fear, like a herd mentality. When the entire herd senses that one of its members is affected, the entire herd will be affected, even though they don't see or smell or recognize the imminent danger. So they get this fear contagion. So what I had to do is check that and then recalibrate my thinking and my emotions and to seek out individuals that I know are going to respond or are responding differently, that are responding in the sense that they see opportunity, right? Because remember the last recession we had. Remember the last time that there was a real estate collapse. Whatever the case may be, whenever there is this this massive reaction to events that are causing panic, there's always opportunity, right? Like the old French saying, when there's blood in the streets, buy. Well, I started surrounding myself with thought leaders that started seeing this opportunity, and they were pivoting their business.
Yeah.
Many of them, like Tony Robbins' company or the T. Harv Eckert company, you know, these are all event companies. And all of a sudden, you can't have events. So your revenue stream is shut down. So what do? You either shut down, right, and lick your wounds, or you pivot and find a way to speak into this reality in a way that can continue to generate business and generate opportunity. So that's what my focus has been. And surprisingly, there has been extraordinary opportunity in regards to sales and revenue generation that I've witnessed and that I've actually participated in consulting.
That's great. You know, there's a lot of gold that people can mine there. One of the things that I got from that response, Jim, is that, and I think a little bit of context will help my audience here to understand, mm-hmm. is that I've had a fairly successful career. And as most people who've had successful careers, they surround themselves with people who can help elevate what they're doing. And so you're one of the few people that whenever I'm called into, whether it's to help a company pivot or to scale a company, or even in one of my own businesses, you're one of the few people I call. You're on my favorites list, right? So It's what was interesting to me is that you're there, not only because you're a good person, obviously, but you're the highest results-oriented performer from a sales perspective that I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. I've always known you to be the kind of person that has, you know, a lot of similarities in the way I think in terms of our mindset and mental toughness.
Right.
And so what I find really interesting in your response is that even someone who has the outlook that you have and the successes that you've had at a scale that most people will never see, even you had a momentary reaction that was fear-based, and then how you worked your way out of that position into a place of more abundance and opportunity. And so what I want to get to with that is that I think that there are two kinds of people in this world. Whenever they're faced with either a personal crisis, you know, it could be a job loss, a divorce, a death in the family, what have you, They either are paralyzed by that fear, or they see what is going on around them as an opportunity to grow and to better themselves. And so I really liked what you said, because it was an object lesson on how it's very human, you know, to be afraid. You're not a bumper sticker, like that no fear bumper sticker. You know, You do have an amygdala. It's there for a reason. It's there to keep you alive. So there's no point in having this false bravado that you're never going to be afraid. It's okay. It's just to act in spite of that fear. Or, like, unfortunately, too many people do, they get paralyzed by it and do nothing. And they wait. Unfortunately, those people become victims of their own inaction. And this is the time where people really need to sort of hunker down, pick up new skills, find mentors, figure out what life looks like at the other end of this. Because frankly, while everyone's talking about a pivot now, as you did, and that's great, but I think that if you're pivoting now, you're actually too late. I think that you should have been pivoting a year ago for this kind of crisis, right? So you and I have been on the online space for years, right, in order to have reduced your level of stress and the lack of resilience that you may be experiencing during this time. You had to have started that pivot much earlier. So pivoting now for what's inevitably going to happen 5 or 6 or 8 or 20 years down the road, it's important to do that now to learn the lessons that COVID-19 is teaching us.
Well, you know, Renee, what's interesting is that right now with one organization, I'm actually scaling out their sales force, right, to effectively handle the amount of response that they're getting to their marketing, to their webinars, because they're taking a very aggressive approach to this. And they pivoted. They pivoted from an event company, moved right into online coaching, did massive marketing, and now all of a sudden they've got more leads coming in they can handle. So what's interesting though, Renee, is that I'm scaling out the sales force. So I put an ad in Indeed, and in 24 hours, I got over 200 resumes. And what was interesting is not the amount of resumes, but the quality of applicants. I'm talking about university professors, doctors, lawyers, a lot of medical personnel who, for one reason or the other, I assume are being shut out of their jobs and their positions. Business owners, I mean, the highest caliber of applicant that I've ever seen in 30 years of doing this.
It actually shows that what I was saying earlier is a little bit of a generalization. Obviously, not everyone is sitting by, but those that are going to succeed and thrive, not just survive, are those that are taking action. And those are the kind of people that you're hearing from. Right. I know that this organization you're referring to is in the same space as I am. So feel free to plug them. I'm all for sharing all the goodness here. So.
Okay, sure thing. Actually, I'm working with Shanda Sumter and a company. Her company is Heart Core Business.
Yeah.
And what she offers is coaching programs for entrepreneurs, people who want to start their own business. And of course, that mentality right now is very fertile. A lot of people who actually don't have a business to go back to work, a company they may have worked with or a company that is scaled back, whatever the case may be, people are having a lot of time to consider whether or not this is the ideal time for them to start their own business, you know, to move from being a wannapreneur into an entrepreneur, right? So she provides the coaching programs that facilitate. She's quite successful with it.
I've watched some of her content ever since you mentioned to me that you were taking her on as a client. And while I don't know her personally, her content seems to be very solid. And again, she's going to be teaching or is teaching some of the same programs that we're teaching, but I encourage everyone to go check out Sonda Schumpeter as well. All right. So moving on from that, I wonder if you were to have dinner tonight with anyone living or dead to discuss what we're going through now globally here in terms of our health and economic crisis and the challenges that not just businesses, but people in general are facing today. Who would you want to break bread with and what would you ask?
Well, Renee, you know me, you know my background, especially, you know, I come from a very deep spiritual life and faith. So I'd love to sit down and have dinner with the Pope.
Yeah.
And I tell you why.
The current Pope?
The current Pope. Yeah, the current Pope, right? Yeah. Pope Francis. And I tell you why, you know, I'm a good Catholic boy from New Orleans, right? But he did a prayer for the world from the Vatican, which was absolutely empty. And he went out on the portico. It was in the evening. He went out on the portico to offer this prayer. And it was raining. It was a dark Italian night. The city was absolutely empty. The Vatican was absolutely empty. And then it was one man praying to his God for the salvation of mankind. And I would want to ask him, what does it mean? How do I explain to my children, to my friends and colleagues, you know, why is it that that if there is a God, why would he allow a pandemic such as this to occur in the world? Why would he be so cruel, right? I'd want to hear his answer. We have so much uncertainty, right? And especially our children, because I have two teenage daughters. And I got to tell you, this is going to have an effect on their lives, you know, this next generation coming up. So I'd like to be able, from a place of authority, to explain to them exactly what it is that we're going through. Why did the world stop turning, you know, a month and a half ago? And, you know, we all together are experiencing this common situation that I totally believe in, even though there's a lot of death, there's a lot of sickness, of course, there's a lot of sadness, but at the same time, there's a unification. I truly believe that the world is realizing its own inability to truly have total control of its own destiny, that something like this can come and change the course of everyone's life in a minute. And for them to start and seeing how clean the world has gotten, the waters, the air, see how the wildlife has reacted to all this, number one. And number two, to see all the acts of charity and just how much we rely upon each other and how we can suffer together. You know, you have the CEO suffering with the janitor, right? Suffering the same plight. I mean, it's a leveling of humanity. So anyway, so from a philosophical and spiritual level, that's where I would go. And I would dine in Italy, by the way.
Yeah. Well, not a bad choice there.
Correct.
I think they might have a good dish or two there.
They'd be an Italian food, right? Correct.
All right. I'd like to actually move into some of the kind of more tactical stuff. Sure. With the sales teams that you're developing and training, how are you managing your sales team's anxieties? People probably have objections today that they may not have to a sales call in the past.
Absolutely. Well, this isn't my first rodeo with this type of thing, by the way. When I took on the role, Tony Robbins, my first week into the job, 9/11 struck.
Yeah.
And so all flights were shut down. All events were shut down. And we had an event coming up in Orlando that we really had to win. When I got back, I actually got stuck in Hawaii with Tony at his Life Mastery event during 9/11. So when I did come back, I came back to a sales force that was absolutely petrified and actually resentful that I was asking of them to sell tickets into an event that was going to take place in Florida. So the first objection was in their own mind, right? And by the way, I'm a linguist, so you know I believe that sales is dead. So we've got the Willie Loman moment has already passed, but I truly believe that what we're involved in right now is influence. We're involved in relational conversation. So the first thing is I teach that there are no such things as objections, right? Because there's nothing you can objectify in wanting to think things over or wanting to talk to my spouse. There's nothing you can objectify about that. These are all subjections is what I call them because they're beliefs.
Yeah.
They're limiting beliefs, yeah. They're fears, uncertainties, whatever the case may be. So the first thing that I have to do, my first client is my sales force. That's my client. So what's incumbent upon me is to influence them in their thinking so that they can then go have an impact on the world. What I am doing right now is I'm suggesting is, first of all, is I'm creating an identity of them. Who are you? Who are you showing up as, right? So I create that identity. You are the voice of reason, the voice of authority, and the voice of change, right? So that you must believe in yourself that what it is you're offering is going to change the trajectory of someone's life and give them the opportunity to realize their dreams, to fulfill what it is that they desire, and to become that person that they have the opportunity to become. And you have that salvific role. It truly is a salvific role because you're standing at the threshold between in the doorway where on one side is your prospect and on the other side is the program or the product that you're looking to influence them to either purchase or enroll in. And you're at that threshold, right? It's kind of like a shaman, right? The shaman stands at the threshold and he guides individuals into rites of marriage, rites of death, rites of manhood, whatever the case may be, right? I remember explaining that to Tony one day and he loved it. And then I was watching a video about a week later and some guy was talking about how he loved the conversation that Tony had about the shaman. But anyway, so I create, my first obligation is to create an identity within my own force that they're the voice of authority, that whatever is being heard on the media, whatever that fear that's being transmitted socially is not a reality that you have to stake your life on, that there's an opportunity to act within fear, to act and actually come out on the other side victorious, because this too shall pass. It's a season, right?
Yeah.
So once I've got them in that seat of authority and they get emotionally integrated with the intellect, right? So they get it up in their head and then get them emotionally, you know, by basically speaking into the obligation, the responsibility that they have to the other person on that's on the other line or sitting across from them as a prospect, that you have this obligation, you have this responsibility, this opportunity to bring that person into a new reality that's going to improve their lifestyle, but they don't have the availability, the mindset, the opportunity, the experiential wisdom, or whatever the case may be, to pull the trigger and do it themselves, right? People are afraid of change. People are afraid of decisions, of taking action. So you get them emotionally, and then they can then transfer this emotion, this mindset, this reality, and it's contagious. It's more contagious than fear. Because truly people in their heart, most people anyway, have a noble spirit, you know, this inner Spartan, right? We all have this inner Spartan that really wants to succeed, that wants to conquer, that wants to experience success, right? And so that's what I have them speak into. But it has to be authentic.
Are you feeling a little bit adventurous right now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You want to kind of show them what that looks like? You want to do a little role play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Don't sell me into an inner Spartan program because that may come off as a little bit cheesy.
Okay. And this is unpracticed, by the way.
Yeah, totally. We neither of us knew we were going to do this. And maybe it doesn't make the edit. We'll see. Okay. We mentioned Shamda's program.
Correct.
So you try to sell me into one of her programs. Let's say that I'm someone who's interested in the program. Uh-huh. Walk me through this now.
Want to start from the beginning?
Well, you know, let's kind of give them a synopsis. What I'd like to do, is to kind of give them a short sort of master class on how they can handle these types of situations. Now, don't make me cry. Now, everybody, you know, if you guys have been following me for a long time, you guys know that, you know, I'm empathetic or romantic if you've seen my posts about my fiance, but I'm also an alpha male and not necessarily prone to crying in public. And Jim and I did this exercise one day. And do you remember this?
I do remember the 7-question challenge, right?
Yeah, we did this in it was a breakfast diner, I guess.
Yeah.
We won't mention where it was, but in West Hollywood, yeah. And he was like, I bet you I can make you cry. And, you know, so we go through this thing and, you know, sure enough, I think it was like the 5th question and he got me.
Five.
And
yeah.
so, Yeah. So don't do that. But let's, I don't want to cry on my own podcast.
Yeah.
Let's do a little bit of role playing. Let's give someone a kind of a flavor for what that's like, because it's like going to see a Picasso and then getting to see Picasso paint the painting. So let's show them a little bit of what that's like, if you don't mind.
Okay, I will. Now, I think it's also important for your audience to understand what I'm doing at the moment. So I'll give a quick synopsis of what I'm doing. The first phase of any conversation of influence is connection, because what I'm looking to achieve in connection, believe it or not, it's not so much the rapport building. And that's why I tell everybody, throw away your sales books, because your sales books are going to do you a disservice, and replace them with books in psychology, in neuroscience, in influence, in negotiation, et cetera. So what I'm looking to do in the connection phase is actually to create authority. So it's not so much to get you to like me, but it's basically to get your subconscious to recognize that there's something familiar about me, and it will direct your conscious mind to actually listen to me and take cues from me, right? Yeah. So the first thing I'm going to do whenever I do a connection, I'm going to introduce myself as Coach Jim. Hello, Renee. This is Coach Jim with Heartcore Business. And I'll stop right there. You'll say hi. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, how is your day going?
Yeah, it's going well, you know, just here riding out this COVID crisis like everybody else, trying to figure out what my next steps are.
Uh-huh. And is that a suffering or is that something that's enjoyable to you?
Well, you know, I certainly miss going out and seeing my friends and family and eating out at restaurants. But generally speaking, I'm okay right now. I'm a little bit concerned about the future, about whether or not I have a job to go back to. And I've had some successes in other businesses in the past, but for whatever reason, didn't really stick with them. And moved on to more of a corporate environment. And so now I'm considering getting back and, you know, hanging my shingle again and trying to figure out what that looks like for me.
You know what? That's interesting information. As a matter of fact, we'll dive into that a little bit later in the call and look to get the results that you're seeking, right?
Okay.
But just a little bit on a personal level, are you originally from LA?
No, I grew up there, but I was actually born on the East Coast in Paterson, New Jersey.
Ah, what is it that brought you to the West Coast? That's an interesting, from Jersey down to LA.
Yeah. And thanks for not asking which exit in Jersey. actually, my parents split up when I was about 6 months old and I grew up in Los Angeles.
Okay, I got you. So it's running.
So, you know,
it's in your blood.
Yeah, I consider myself an Angeleno, although I don't live there now.
Okay, I got you. You have family there?
My sisters and my son lives there. He's a filmmaker out in Hollywood.
Any films I recognize?
You know, he's paying his dues, cutting his chops as an editor right now and doing side projects.
Okay.
As a filmmaker.
All right. That's interesting. Well, listen, I want to be respectful of your time and my time. Okay. Let's get out of the role just for 1 second. I spent about, if you look at it, it's probably about 3 minutes looking to connect with you at somewhat of more of an intimate level than a typical salesperson will look. So the first thing that I did, let me go back and backtrack a bit. The first thing I did is I asked you how your day was going. And the reason I did that is I wanted to find out whether you were in an integral emotion or you were in an incidental emotion. And an integral emotion is basically, how do you feel about what we're about to do? An incidental emotion might be something like, you just got in a fight with your wife or your girlfriend, and now you're on this podcast. So I want to know exactly where you are, right? So that's why I ask you how the day is going. And then what I do is I want to get you out of the discomfort of meeting someone new. So where's the most comfortable place for you to be is inside yourself.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is I'll drive you internal. So you say, oh, I'm having a good day. I'm riding it out, blah, 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 you know, with the COVID situation. And so what I did is I asked you, how is that going for you? Is that a suffering or are you finding opportunity? And so what I did is I drove you internal to go find that answer. You're more comfortable internal than you are talking to me. And once I get you comfortable, then I can just start asking you anything.
Yeah.
I can ask you about your family. I can ask you about your private life, your financial life, your business life. But really what I'm looking to do is just kind of flow conversationally, but get you to kind of talk a little bit about a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
And then stop you.
I've taken an NLP practitioner course, and Tony obviously doesn't call it NLP, but a lot of what he practices is NLP, Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
And in terms of rapport building, there's some similarities there. Is that kind of where its foundation.
Absolutely. It's all yeah. NLP and a lot of psychology. You know, if you read Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, you know, he talks about the fast thinking part of the brain, which is the unconscious mind, the slow, which is the cognitive deliberate mind. I actually had a chance to work briefly with Daniel Kahneman, but even more so with his business partner, Max Bazeman, out of Harvard University when we were looking to purchase a negotiation company. Mm. And so Max and I had an opportunity to do some work together. But anyway, yeah, it is NLP based. And also, if you're an influencer, I think there's value in understanding how it is the mind comes to decisions. Daniel Kahneman won the Nobel Prize with that.
Right. So rapport is act one.
So we got rapport, which gives me authority because we have familiarity. And now what I'm doing is I'm cutting off and I'm letting you know that my time is valuable, but I'm also letting you know your time is valuable.
Yeah.
And so now what I'm looking to do is I'm always looking to grab authority, right? These are called authority grabs.
By putting a boundary on the time, are you tapping in subconsciously into a little bit of the scarcity or fear of missing out if I don't take advantage of this call?
And also the fact that I have other people to talk to. You're not the only person. And so what it does is it starts breaking down immediately this fear that you might have that I'm here to sell you. Because a salesman is never going to be authoritative.
Yeah.
Salesmen are not authoritative. What salesmen are reactionary. They're basically looking to see what it is that makes you feel good and responding and not pissing you off and not challenging you that much, right? That's why I say throw away the sales book.
Yeah.
Right? Because it really is socialized mentality thinking, in the words of Robert Keegan in his book, Immunity to Change. We're moving into more of a developed mentality, a complexity into self-authoring. So we're basically coming across as a coach. Someone who's going to coach you from a place of authority.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that so that I can then grab the structure. I can take the structure of the time, the authority of the structure of the call, and the time of the call. So what I'll say is, Renee, I want to be respectful of your time and my time both on this call. So let me tell you what I found works best on these calls to get the best outcomes.
Okay.
Now, what I just told the subconscious mind is there's going to be an outcome on this call. Okay.
Yeah.
It's peaked. So what I'll say.
Yeah, you've anchored it.
Yeah. So we're anchored. It's ignited. And so what I'll do is I'll tell you, listen, what I'd like to do is look at your life situation in three different aspects. Number one, what's not working for you right now? What are the obstacles in your way? What is it that's challenging you and keeping you from getting the desires that you want? Number two, what would life look like if, in fact, you were to achieve everything you wanted to achieve and you're living the ideal life? What does that fantasy life look like? And then number three, what's going to keep you from getting there?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Right? So I've structured the call. So now we have a pathway. This gives me authority. You're totally yielding authority because you don't know this pathway. So it's like, you know, if you're driving with someone and you don't know where you're going, they say, no, I know how to get there. Of course, you're going to yield authority. So it's an immediate authority yield to me, keeping me in alpha, but even driving you further into beta because you don't know where I'm going, right? So again, authority, 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 this authority ascension. And
I think that also the way you're doing it, sorry to interrupt, is that you're not just driving them into beta, but you're driving them into beta with a good safety net under them.
Absolutely.
Because you're taking control of the conversation and you're demonstrating they're in good hands.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So,
And you started that by building rapport.
By the connection, which is the most important phase
That's
of the
right.
call. If you don't nail that, no matter what you do on the call, it's not going to be productive.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the most important aspect. And it's short. You see how brief it is, but it's intentional. It's intentional. Right. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a push away.
Okay.
I'm going to do a push away that basically lets you know I'm not here to sell you. As a matter of fact.
Can we role play that part?
Yeah, we can. These calls work best if we take a look at things from three different perspectives. Number one, what is it that is not working in your life right now? What are the obstacles? What are the challenges you face that's keeping you from achieving what you want? Number two, what does life look like if you were in fact able to live the life that you dream of and create that fantasy life? And then number three, what's going to get in the way of that? And if at the end of this call, I feel that you're the type of person that we would enjoy working with and facilitate you to achieving everything that you desire, well, then I'll show you what it looks like to work with us. And if not, I'll be honest with you. I'll let you know, and I'll refer you to someone that might be more appropriate. But either way, we'll get all your questions answered. We'll take a deep dive into things. We're going to get some extraordinary results in the end. We'll look to have a little fun. Fair enough.
Yeah, sounds good.
What we just did right there, you see, it's like now what I'm telling you, it's your time to perform, that you've got to make the grade.
Yeah.
Right. And I also laid out a hope and a promise that at the end, we're actually going to get extraordinary results.
Yeah.
Constantly shooting up that flare that I expect results at the end of the call. Right. Because the last thing I want, again, is resistance and hesitation. So I'm actually already working on what in sales you call the close, but what in influence we call the enrollment, right? The enrollment, you enrolling into the program, you enrolling into the product, right? Just the transactional vernacular changes.
I was just going to comment on, you know, this idea of the close, because I'd like your perspective or you to touch on that a little bit more, because you know, a lot of people have these sort of closing formulas.
Yes.
You know, obviously I know this answer because we've worked together, but for the audience, do you have a closing formula per se? It's like the killer close, or is it based on, you know, something else, some other approach or framework that you're using as your part of your sales call?
It's interesting. You know, first of all, let me say I did a podcast with a good friend of mine. He actually worked with me at Tony Robbins. He was on one of the teams, one of my teams. I had 8 sales teams at close to 150 personnel. So we were all over the world selling from different platforms, different products, et cetera. His name is Roberto Monaco. He's got a company called Influenceology, right? Where he basically teaches storytelling and influencing from the front of the room. But anyway.
Yeah. I think you had me talk to him once. His name sounds very
It's very possible. So on that podcast, what we talked about was a concept that I believe in. The old sales slogan of always be closing. Always be closing, right? Again, get you in danger these days. That's dead. It's dead vernacular. So what I replaced that with is always be opening. Always be opening, because the prospect comes to you already closed in the sense that they're closed up to doing anything with you. It's your responsibility to shape them from a prospect into a client. That's what this whole structure of conversation is all about, and why we had, when we worked together just recently, why we had the success we had with the sales force in bringing historical, you know, what, a 20-year-old company, we had historical sales production without having a marketing director, by the way. Thank you, Renee. But anyway, so what we do is we take the mentality and the focus and the intention of shaping a prospect into a client the entire process. So by the time it comes to calling them to action, the CTA, which is what other people in the sales vernacular is the close, right? You're calling them to action. Mm-hmm. It's somewhat of a very understated, no big deal type of situation. So for example, what I would do once I take you through the phase, the fatal stage and the fantasy stage, right? Then I get you through the course description. And that's very brief, by the way, because people are not buying your course. What people are buying is the result that your course is going to bring to them. Do you understand? If they could get the same results without going through your course, believe me, they would do it. They would buy that. They buy the results and skip the course, right? So they're not buying the course. So this is, again, where sales, that transactional is product-centric, and it just really misses the mark. So what we are is we're result-centric. So what we do is basically enumerate a few features of the product or the program, but then weave them in, weave the results, the benefits that the client is going to experience as a result of those features in our course description. And once we do the course description, and I say, by the way, Renee, and I'm finished that phase because there's a structure to the presentation. So after I do the description of the program and I ask you, do you have any questions about the program? And you're going to say yes or no, and I'll address them or I won't. And then I'll transition. And here comes the call to action. It's real simple. I'll ask you, I'll say, of course, Renee, as with any program, there are economics associated. Would you be interested in hearing them?
Yeah, this is where you get them to agree for you to reveal the price.
That's correct. And you notice I don't say investment. I don't say price. I just say this economic.
And why not? A lot of people talk about this.
Because these are trigger words. These are trigger words, right? They're all trigger words. Every salesman out there is using them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's basically when you're in the sales mind, your whole focus is on trying to get someone to come out of their pocket and purchase your program. Whereas that's not the focus of where I'm coming from my approach in the enrollment approach. The enrollment approach is basically getting you clear on two things. Number one, you are in pain. Your life, in some degree, is suffering, right? Or it's insufficient, or it's fractured, or it's longing for, whatever the case may be. And that's when we go into the questioning in that pain process, right? I'm going to take you through a very deep, somewhat, you know, it's called the doctor phase, right? We're going to do a diagnostic questioning, right? And we go vertical, with it. But I want to get you clear on two things. Number one, you're in pain. Number two, you can't do anything about it, right? So that you basically now, I'm creating what's called cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Because you want that fantasy life, but you can't do anything about it. And that dissonance between those two states of mind will encourage you, it will influence you to actually take some sort of action to seek resolution.
Yeah.
And the only resolution is my program, right?
Yeah.
It's not about money. It's not about prices. It's just economics.
Yeah. That's great. Right?
Of course, there's economics that are associated with you, Renee. I'd be happy to share them with you if you're interested. So again, I'm letting you know, I'm not here to sell you. We can stop right now.
Yeah.
No big deal. And of course, you're interested in hearing because I just took you through a very serious neurolinguistic programming process.
And it's worth also noting that a lot of what we're talking about when it comes to, especially at your level, a lot of your focus, because it's where a lot of the benefit comes, not just for the client, but for the company, is in the higher ticket item. So
that's correct.
This isn't a $200 thing we're talking about.
Oh, no. We're talking $15,000, $25,000 and under.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You know, I worked with one program where there's $50,000. It doesn't matter the amount, just so long as the person on the other side of the phone is capable of spending, right?
Yeah.
They either have the money or have access to it. Those are two qualifications. But anyway, so you say yes, so I say, okay, first thing I do is I minimize. So I say, look, it's very simple. You know, there, of course, there's economics that are associated, but you'd be interested in, yes, okay. And then first thing out of my mouth, I'll say, look, it's really very simple. And I'm talking to the subconscious mind. Because I'm inducing state. So what I want to do is I want to induce cognitive ease and trust in this moment. So it's really very simple. And opportunity. So I'm creating flow, creating the opportunity for you to flow into this when I say it's very simple. These are trigger words. So it's really very simple. What, let's say Shanda, what Shanda has done is she has put a value on the program, right? That number one promises you to, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to chunk up. That promises to create the opportunity for you, Renee, in your own business within the next 6 months to possibly realize a six-figure income. And let's stretch that out over 36 months. And now you're talking about over $250,000, $300,000, $500,000, whatever that opportunity and wherever you take it. This is what the program is offering. So I'm chunking up to create contrast. So when I do the price reveal, it seems insignificant to the opportunity that it offers. Does that make sense? Okay, so what I'm doing by future pacing them into future earnings and talking about numbers, $250,000, $350,000, $400,000, which is an opportunity. Not a guarantee, not doing an earnings claim, but the opportunity. So what she's done is she's taken that opportunity and she's priced it at a point that is absolutely a no-brainer for anyone who wants to start a business. So the initial investment coming in the program is only $15,500. And that's for individuals who may want to do it over time. She offers a 12-month payment program, right? Now, for those people who want to say, you know what, I just want to get in this thing and start shredding it and tearing it up, and they throw down the credit card and they pay the whole thing up front, well, she takes another $2,400 off and brings it down to only $13,500. It's a no-brainer. So my question to you is, of those two options, which one are you most comfortable with? I'm going to ask you to grab your card. And on your card, you've got Renee Rodriguez as the name. Is that correct?
Correct.
So you see what I'm doing?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just right before you can give me resistance. And I want you to give me resistance, by the way.
Okay.
I'm basically structuring the enrollment.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm proceeding from a place of authority with the enrollment. Okay, so you give me resistance. No such thing as an objection. You're going to give me resistance. right? Whatever that is.
You know, that sounds good, but $13,000-$15,000 is still, you know, quite a bit of money. I'm not sure if I should spend that right now, given the current climate. I'm uncertain about how things are going to go, you know? What if I don't start making money right away? Then I'm reducing my personal runway here.
I get it. And as a matter of fact, virtually every person that I've enrolled in our program today and over the past few weeks have told me the same exact thing. And trust me, if I'm in your shoes, I'm feeling exactly the way you feel. So first of all, I want you to know that I absolutely understand where you're coming from. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised that you're actually this cool in this moment, right? When considering to invest, you know, resources that are very valuable in a very uncertain time, right? So I get where you're coming from. All right, you see what I just did?
Yeah.
This is the first step. It's called empathy.
Yeah.
And I overstated the empathy.
Yeah.
I actually overstated it so that you feel comfortable that I'm in alignment with you. I'm not going to overcome your objection because you're not in an objection state of mind. What you are basically is in a typical human state of mind of uncertainty in the face of scarcity and the unknown.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to interject some here because I want to let the audience in on a little bit of inside baseball here. And, you know, one of the benefits that I've always experienced with bringing you on to some of the projects we're working on is that whenever you've trained a group, you know, that's in an organization that I'm running, our refund rates tend to drop. Right. Because I think that when a salesperson, right, let's go back to that nomenclature for a minute. Mm-hmm. When a sales professional ends up overcoming objections, I think that's where you end up seeing the clients giving into the moment.
Yes.
Or maybe they are just excited and taken by the thrill of the opportunity and the vision of what might come next.
Right.
But an hour or two later, you know, a day later, they talk to their significant other or they're lying in bed and then that buyer's remorse kicks in and then there come the refunds, right?
Absolutely.
And so what your approach is doing is that you're empathizing with them on a human level. You know, you didn't say this, but I think it's where you're going with this is that you're not just connecting with them logically, but you're really hitting them at an emotional core that you get them and that the fear is valid, but nonetheless, here's a solution that sort of resolves or can potentially resolve that problem.
And so that's a good point, because the truth is that, again, where you're taught in the sales books to overcome objection, the truth is,
no.
Does anyone really want to be overcome? Does anyone want to experience the feeling of being overcome? So the truth is that what we do in this role is we facilitate, because you want to. If I were to tell you, hey, Renee, the program is free, by the way, would you have any resistance at all? Of course not.
Well, maybe, because, you know, people also don't value what's free.
All right. But knowing the program has value, I told you, by the way, we're going to scholarship you 100% into this, right?
There you go. Okay.
So the truth is that I'm not looking to overcome anything. What I'm looking to do, and this is really where you start earning your money as an influencer in this moment, is to facilitate people from the heart and from the head to understand what they're going through in the moment, to be compassionate. The word compassion comes from the Greek kom, which means with, and paseo, which means to suffer, right? Mm-hmm. To suffer. So that's what compassion is. It's basically for me to enter into your suffering. And that's where the word influence, influere, to flow in, right? So if I can flow into you and let you know that I understand, I get it. You know, this is the golden words. I get it, Renee.
Yeah.
I get it. And so that's the first step, is to over-empathize, to over-empathize. But you know, you notice what I said, by the way, because I also did a little neural and NLP drop in there. What I said is, you know what, Renee, I get it. Virtually every client that I've enrolled over the past 2 days has told me exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm telling the subconscious that it's okay to feel this way and still go through with enrollment. And as a matter of fact, that's what most people are doing. Hmm. So it's good for you to do. Stay with the herd. There's safety here.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm inducing the state I'm doing a disintegrative process in disintegrating your feeling of isolation and alienation and being alone in your suffering and letting you know, hey, it's okay, man. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. Yeah. It worked out for everybody else. It's going to work out for you.
Yeah.
Right? So the first thing is doing that over empathetic stage. And now the second thing to do, second phase, is to isolate. So I'm going to ask you, by the way, Renee, other than having the feeling or the belief, I don't give you an action word of wanting to, right? Okay. I take that out. It's not part of it. Mm-hmm. So it's just a belief. I let you know. I tell you, it's just a belief. Other than believing that you don't really have the ability right now because of your financial resources and your concern about the scarcity, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Other than that, is there anything else that would keep you from doing exactly what it is you want to do and moving forward? See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. See what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
And doing exactly what it is you want to do and moving forward. And now what I'll do, Renee, is I'll go back up to the fantasy phase where we discussed what would life look like ideally.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab what it is you said, and I'm going to weave it into this phase right here. So I'm going to say, you know, other than that, Renee, is there anything else that you feel would keep you from doing exactly what it is that you want to do? Like what you told me earlier, right? Is building that business, getting that seven-figure income, purchasing that house out in Redondo Beach, creating that legacy scholarship fund for your children and underprivileged children. Anything else that would keep you from experiencing that in your life right now?
No, I'm ready to sign up, Jim.
What I'm doing, what's real important is that you have to understand when you're an influencer, you must take responsibility for the state of mind that your prospect is in the moment. I can't ask you to take the action of a client if you are in a state of uncertainty and fear and hesitation. So I've got to induce state, bring you back to fantasy, bring you back to possibility, and then and only then will I then move to the next phase. So the next phase is minimization and generalization. So I'll say, is that the only thing, Renee? So is there anything else, Renee? And you'll say what? No, that's the only thing. And I'll say, okay, now I'm going to minimize and generalize.
Okay.
If that's it, then that's no problem at all. That's a no-brainer. As a matter of fact, virtually everyone that I speak to who's gone forward and enrolled with me on this call has felt exactly that same way.
Yeah.
So I minimize and generalize. And then the last phase is now I'm going to deconstruct. I'm going to deconstruct your resistance to free you, to move you, right? Because again, if you look at the word decision, mm-hmm. a decision in a salesman's mind is you're asking someone to come forward with you into a program or into a product.
Right.
And that's exactly why you don't read sales books. Because what a decision is, if you understand human psychology and the word, that's why become an etymologist, not an entomologist where you're studying insects, but an etymologist where you understand words. If you look at the word decision, it tells you exactly what you need to do. A decision means cadare or cesare means to cut away from. So a decision is not a forward moving impulse. It's actually me facilitating you cutting away from what's keeping you from going forward.
Yeah.
So excellent. That you can now, instead of moving into a decision, you move out of a decision and into a choice.
Excellent. Right? Yeah.
So that's the strategy. And then, of course, you get into the deconstruction of it, you know, where you spend a little time with them. You come from the heart. You know, you reassure them, say, listen, Renee, first of all, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you being on the call with me today, how much I appreciate your concern, how much I love the dream that you have for your life, how much I honor the fact that you've spoken to me about this and revealed it to me, even at an intimate level. And, you know, I take that to heart, right? And so what my intention is, Renee, is to find a way on this call right now to make this possible with you. So I know that there's a concern financially. And the truth is, no matter what, if you look back, Renee, on virtually all the decisions that you may have made, you probably, like most of us, have frozen in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
We freeze in the moment when asked of our resources. I get that. So that in itself is natural. It's human. But it doesn't necessarily have to dictate the course of your life like it's doing right now, that fear. So if the choices that you're making, if the trajectory that you're on in your life is fueled by and directed by fear and either inactions or inappropriate actions. My friend, on this call, I intend to change that for you.
Yeah.
So what I'm calling you to do is, even despite the fear that's there, the uncertainty, I want to give you permission to move forward into your decision, because this is the first thing that you're going to be coached into, is the mindset of an entrepreneur that's successful. As a matter of fact, there was a program, a study done by Harvard University called the Genome Project.
Yep.
And it was five women at Harvard University. They studied the attributes of successful CEOs. And so they surveyed 2,000 CEOs. And what they found out, that only 5% of CEOs were successful with their companies. The other 95% either were unsuccessful, out of business, or on their way to going out of business,
yeah,
or just not running lucrative. So those 5%, they wanted to find out, what is it that made them successful? Do you know what the number one characteristic was?
What's that?
Decisiveness.
Decisiveness.
Decisiveness. But you know what I found interesting?
What's that?
Is that most of them, when faced with a decision, did not have all of the information.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them didn't see a clear pathway to get to the solution. Most of them, in most of their decisions, didn't have all the resources to go forward. But what separated them is that they took action.
Yeah.
And within the decision, they did modifications, pivots, accumulation of resources, but they took action.
Yeah.
And got things done.
Yeah.
So my question to you, Renee, is, are we going to do this in a paid in full and save the $2,400, or do we take it over the 12-month period? I just call them to action again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And just stay with them. So anyway, so that's the process.
God, that's
missing
golden.
The middle part, but that's the beginning and the end, right?
I knew that you were going to deliver a lot of value for my audience. And I think that everyone listening to this is going to agree that you've done just that. Not only did they get a little bit of insight into NLP and linguistics and neurocognition and influence and Catholicism, they even got a little bit of a lesson in Latin. So you are, as always, the kind of person that one can count on to underpromise, to come in humble and just crush it and over-deliver. So if you had just one mindset
right.
hack for people who might be able to benefit from your experience. You talked about decision-making. In
right.
some ways, that's an external outcome, but let's
right.
focus on that because, right, if that's the uh-huh. common denominator that makes them successful, let's focus on that.
Right.
So what's the internal framework that helps those successful CEOs?
Understand this, that whatever it is you desired that you want to do, that desire has been planted in your heart because there is a need. There's a purpose, there's an opportunity, and there's a reason for it to be fulfilled. Do not die with that intention, that desire in your heart, because that's what 99% of human beings go to their grave with, is they're buried with their desires because they never fulfilled them, because they were afraid to, because they didn't think they were worthy, whatever the case may be. Man, I'd say this is my motto, cross the starting line first.
Yeah, that's good.
If you cross the starting line first, you're in the race, you have an opportunity to win.
That puts you 99% ahead of everybody else, you know, or ahead of 99% of the rest of the population, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, such good stuff. So Jim, we've reached the end of the podcast and I have one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one question I should have asked you, but that I didn't know enough about influence and persuasion to ask?
Well, you know, the biggest general obvious elephant in the room question is, why don't people know this stuff, right? Why are people out there inappropriately selling and not influencing, right? Mm. Because if you look at sales worldwide, there was some figure, I had tried to find it again, but it said worldwide in the industry of sales, only 20% of opportunities are actually consummated.
Mm.
So that means it's a very failing industry.
Yeah.
It's a very failing industry,
yeah.
Right? It's a horrible close rate, 20%.
Yeah.
So the reason is because it's inherently a failing strategy. It worked when people were basically ignorant, not in the sense of stupid, but they were just ignorant. We're talking back in the 50s. I mean, how many people?
Yeah, clients are much more sophisticated
much
now.
Much more sophisticated,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the strategies are still the same.
Yeah.
You know, the number one reason why businesses go out of business is not because of the business, it's because of the individual running the business. And the number one reason why that individual went out of business is because they didn't put themselves at the feet of a mentor. It's the number one reason.
Yeah.
They didn't get a coach. I'm not plugging anything. I'm just telling you that was research and that's statistical. So they didn't know what to do.
Well, you know, success leaves clues. And if you look at anyone who's successful, you know, I have mentors. You're one of them. Mentors. I mean, everyone who's successful, Einstein had a mentor. Anyone who's successful understands the value of having someone who's already had those experiences and has some unique insight and wisdom to share. Successful people understand that if they're the smartest in the room, they need to change rooms. I don't know if I finished my thought earlier, but we were talking about growth as an inherent driver as part of the human condition, because the opposite of that is stagnation. And where there's stagnation, there's death.
An ontological death, a death of self,
yeah,
where you lose purpose. Think about this, Renee. The truth is that we were born with mentors,
yeah,
right? Our parents.
Yeah.
We're designed to develop from being in the engagement with somebody that has authority and expertise and experience from the womb.
That's right.
I mean, the minute of birth, you're basically in a coaching program.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, why not continue what's natural? Yeah.
Well, Jim, this has been great. If those of you who are listening would like to connect with Jim, you can do so at jim@innerspartan.com. As I mentioned, Jim is one of the trainers and the head of sales for our company and much more, some other stuff that we'll talk about in the future at the appropriate time. But certainly if you want to be able to hang out and learn more from him, make sure to join our free private Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups/InnerSpartan. Unleashed, InnerSpartan Unleashed. Look for that Facebook group and you get to hang out with Jim, myself, and others. And we have lots of valuable insight there for you to help you scale your business, increase your opportunities, and level up your life and health and relationships and finances, of course. Jim, it's been an enormous pleasure as always.
Same here, Renee. Great conversation. Thank you so much.
And now I turn my microphone over to you, my valued listeners. What kind of content would you like to see in a future episode of Inner Spartan Unleashed?